Make a better connection with your friends on Facebook. Use the hottest voice conferencing service around. Call from TalkShoe.com. That's Talk, like I'm doing now, and Shoe, as on your feet.com.
Recorded live.
Welcome to episode 14 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, April 25th, 2008. I am your host, Jeffro. I'm also the webmaster of Jeffro2.0.com. WordPress Weekly is not affiliated with Automattic in any way. If you would like to participate in today's show, either voice your opinion through the TalkShoe web client, or you can use Skype out, or a landline, or a cell phone, and dial 724-444-7444. The TalkCast ID number is 34224. You don't need a TalkShoe account to participate. Simply follow the directions given to you via the audio prompt to make an anonymous call. So, hot on the heels of last week's show, which was a two-hour extravaganza that a lot of people seem to enjoy. I really liked last week's show. Tonight's guest is Nathan Rice of NathanRice.net. Nathan is a web designer slash developer who performs freelance web design work. Nathan also co-owns a web design firm as well as operates the theme site known as RockingThemes.com. And Nathan, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. You?
I am doing extravagantly well.
Well, your explanation of last week's show was right on. It was a great show.
Thank you. I mean, I was going for the worst interview number two, but it turns out to be the best interview so far.
Yeah, it was
I really had a good time.
I remember when Laurel was a guest on the other WordPress podcast, the one we won't mention, but I remember thinking she was just an awesome interviewee and that she's a good guest on a podcast no matter what. So,
well, I took everyone's advice and they were right on. Laurel loves to talk, so she brought her on my show, and I asked her a question. I just kind of sat back and let her take control of the show. It was nice.
I think she might have asked you more questions than vice versa.
Yeah, it was like a dual interview almost.
Exactly.
But, before we get on with the rest of the show here, I wanted to mention that today WordPress 2.5.1 was released, and 2.5.1 is a bug fix / security release, and as of yet, I haven't updated my blog, shame on me, but I understand you have.
Yeah, I saw the announcement this morning in my feed reader, and I immediately Twittered it. If there's any Twitterverse out there, I immediately Twittered it and went ahead and upgraded my blog. Went smoothly, just like every other upgrade I've ever done, so not a hard thing.
Is there anything new or anything special that you noticed in there? I mean, did you run into any problems? Is everything working all right?
Well, I've never had any problems with 2.5 in the first place. So for me, the only reason I did it was because of the security fix that they included with it. But as far as bugs go, I don't use Internet Explorer, so I wasn't experiencing any bugs there. All the other bugs I hadn't run into. So, I mean, for me, it was just about the security thing and just to be on the bleeding edge, you know, bragging rights.
Right. So... So for those of you out there, if you tune in, you're listening to this, and you have yet to upgrade your version of WordPress, please do so immediately or as soon as possible, because it does fix a critical vulnerability that, according to the WordPress guys, has yet to be released out into the public. And if you can upgrade before that exploit gets out to the public, you'll be protecting yourself. And overall, it's just a good technique to be updated to the latest version, because as we all know, that's probably the single most best way to ensure the security of your site. So with that being said, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I actually got hacked. One of the blogs I run actually got hacked a few weeks ago because I was lazy and didn't upgrade it. Ended up having to go through the export file, clean it up, and completely wipe out the entire installation of WordPress and the database and start from scratch. So definitely definitely, if you want to save yourself some time, keep up to date with those WordPress releases.
Right on, exactly. So we're going to go on with the rest of the show here, and I've got Nathan Rice here on the line. If anybody has a question, just go ahead and type it in the chat, or you can call in. And Nathan, I got to meet you at WordCamp Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a pretty interesting experience. And I'll just start off by asking you, you know, how was your WordPress WordCamp Dallas experience?
Well, for me, it was that was the first trade show / conference I've ever been to, especially in the tech field. And I've wanted to do it for a long time, but like you, I live on the East Coast. You live in, I guess,
I live in Northern Ohio. I live in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a soybean field.
And so it's hard for guys like you and me to get out to San Francisco for things that happen almost exclusively in San Francisco, other than maybe South by Southwest. And so I was determined. I have a buddy who lives in the Dallas area, so I decided I was going to, you know, Corey said he was going to be there too, Corey Miller from iThemes, partner of mine, great guy, CoreyMiller.com, just a plug. He was going to be out there, so I figured, you know, might as well plump down the cash and do it. And I did. It was a great experience, great speakers, got to meet a lot of really cool people. Just each session to me added value. There wasn't a bad session in the entire thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, and like you, this was my first conference, as I alluded to with Laurel on last week's show. This was actually a New Year's resolution for me to actually attend a conference, and I didn't know which one I was going to attend because here I am in the middle of Ohio, and this is like a joke I've come up with, but I always tell people that the closest thing Ohio has to a tech conference is a LAN party, and anyone that knows what a LAN party is, you know, they get a good laugh out of that. But, you know, it always seems like everything happens in San Francisco, so, you know, I've been writing for WordPress for quite a while, and there ended up being some people that wanted to meet me, and I said, you know what, I'll plunk down some cash, I'll go to this WordCamp event, and I'm really glad I did because I got to meet a lot of great people. I got to meet the people behind the blogs that I read on a daily basis, and just the overall experience was awesome.
Yeah, it was. So Mark Ghosh didn't pay for you to go out there?
No, he... no, he didn't pay for me to go out there, and he paid his own, I paid my own, and I got to hang out with Ronald down there. It was really awesome, too. I'm a newcomer onto the team at webblogtoolscollection.com, and it was really cool for me because that was one of the only times, or the first time, where almost the entire team of webblogtoolscollection.com was able to get together under one roof. We didn't have to exchange emails or get on Skype and do a conference call. We were actually, you know, there together in real time, you know, face to face, and we really got to bounce some ideas off each other and just got to hang out, which was just awesome. So
yeah, does Mark own the site, or is he like the curator, I guess you could say?
No, he is the owner of webblogtoolscollection.com. I mean, that's his pride and joy, and people such as myself and Ronald and Keith, we're all contributing writers. As far as I know, we're all hired on. I mean, I know I'm hired on, and I believe Ronald is hired on as writers for webblogtoolscollection.com. And that website is pretty much part of his business, part of his online presence, that entire website. And, you know, he generates revenue through ads and things of that nature on there. But I don't know the specifics, the real big business specifics behind the scenes as far as that site, but I know that that's one of his primary sources of income, and that WLTC is pretty much like his business. And me and Ronald and some of the other people that are on there are hired on as writers.
Okay, that sounds good. I didn't know whether or not – I know some people alluded to maybe a previous owner or something like that, but maybe I heard that wrong. Sorry if I have. Sorry, Mark.
Well, you know, I haven't even dived into the history of webblogtoolscollection.com. I know that if I check through the archives, and I've occasionally I do a search for a post on there, and I know that WLTC has a huge backlog, a huge archive that goes way back for a couple of years. So I'm not sure if it's gone through more than one owner or if it's been under Mark's command the entire time, but as far as I know, you know, it's under his control right now and probably for the foreseeable future.
Okay. Well, that clears that up then.
Yeah. So being a theme developer, you must have some opinion as to what qualifies a theme to be premium. You know, a couple of weeks ago, probably a couple of months ago, Ronald Eureka of WebLawToolsCollection.com published an article that basically just asked the question, what makes a theme premium? And boy, the people came out in droves to comment on that article, and there was about 50 to 60 different comments, and each one of them, each person that commented on that article had a different belief or a different definition as to what premium means for a premium theme. So why don't you give us your thoughts, your definition as to what would make a theme premium?
Well, I actually wrote an article about this on my blog too. I think probably in response to that article, it sure was. I actually commented on that article as well. To be honest with you, I'm not sure what I said, but things might have changed since then. So I'll just give you my opinion of what makes a theme premium now. It might have changed since then. So a premium theme to me, unfortunately, has become defined as a theme that is sold for money. I don't think it has to be like that. Themes and the calling, you know, calling them premium and that kind of thing, I think has more to do with, number one, the quality of the theme itself. If you look through the majority of, say, the themes that are released on a, I think, a biweekly basis at weblogs, they're not released there, but they're announced there, excuse me. If you go to their sites and you download the theme and you look through the code and things, most of them are either really crappy or they are a modification of K2 or Kubrick, which to me doesn't – I mean, I don't think that constitutes a new theme. And so for the most part, when you go out into the free theme community, with rare exception, I've tried to make my free themes very of a certain quality. Brian Gardner, who's a buddy of mine, makes his of a very high quality. Let's see, who else does good free themes? Small Potato did great free themes. I'm sorry if I'm missing you. I'm not trying to dish you or anything. I'm just saying there are certain people out there who do great free themes, but they are a minority. And so to me, a premium theme is one of a very high quality, a certain standard. But number two, premium to me indicates support, some sort of extra support that goes beyond just leave a comment if you've got a bug. I'm talking about, hey, I want to do this thing special with the theme. Can you tell me how to do that? And an author actually responds. A lot of times that doesn't happen for theme authors unless there is a way for them to benefit monetarily. And so for the most part, when you hear the word premium themes, it is attached. There's a price attached to it because of the support that comes along with it. So for me, it's those two things, quality and support. If you don't have both of those things, I don't think you have a right to call your theme premium.
And I commented on Ronald's article that, you know, the definition of premium to me was pretty simple. It's something you pay for. Because when I took a step back and I looked at all of these themes and looked at all of the ones that were considered premium, anyone that was labeled premium was something you had to pay for. But then I started going through the articles, and what you said is exactly right. A number of people believe that, one, there's probably a price tag attached to the theme, but two, there better be some support or top-notch support as a part of that theme or part of that package, or else there's no way it could be considered premium.
Right. And also one thing I want to mention too, don't make the mistake of thinking that just because you have to pay for a theme, that it is a premium theme. because a lot of the themes, and I don't know this from experience because I don't go around waving cash at too many people, but I would highly suspect that if you that the themes that a lot of people are calling premium, and I don't know if you see them or not like I do, but I have Gmail, and over in the sidebar of my Gmail, because I talk about WordPress a lot when in my email exchanges between with me and Corey and other people. And there's tons of advertisements, excuse me, in my sidebar from Google about, you know, a new premium theme popping up every other day, it seems like. So don't just think that because you have to pay money for it that it's somehow of a higher quality than, say, a theme that you might get for free. The thing about free themes is you can test them out, and you can't do that with paid-for themes.
That's actually a great point you bring up. Just because you pay for something doesn't mean you're getting something awesome. And
exactly.
You know, you made a comment about the themes that are being culminated together in the theme release post that we do on weblawtoolscollection.com. And I usually go on there and I check out all the themes that were released, and I kind of give my vote as to which one in that group looks the best. And it's getting harder and harder for me to choose one of them that looks the best in that grouping. And I'm wondering, do you think most of the theme releases that we do are probably coming from people who are either just starting to learn how to theme, or maybe those are their first themes that are coming out?
Yes, more than likely. It's either that, which I love. I love when new people get into the theme market, but more than, like, a lot of times, more often than not, at least in my experience, the people who are releasing those themes and are trying to get on Weblog Tools Collection are people looking to benefit from the release of those themes. I think you know what I'm talking about, because Weblog Tools Collection sends tons of traffic to people when they create a free theme. In fact, if it had not have been for Weblog Tools Collection, I actually probably wouldn't be where I am today, because they were very instrumental in getting traffic to the site when Corey and I first started rockinthemes.com. And so that's a great thing, but it comes at a price, because a lot of times themes come out that are like I said, really crappy. They either have, you know, bad links in them, and Weblogs has done a good job of keeping that stuff weeded out. But from what I can tell, it seems like a lot of people are re-releasing essentially the same theme that's been released four or five times over just to get the traffic. And I think that sucks. I think that's terrible. But it's the way it goes.
Well, you are right. We do send a ton of traffic, weblawtoolscollection.com. I mean, with the site as popular as it already is, and with being in the dashboard, I mean, that is a ton of traffic. And Mark Ghosh has a very strict policy in regards to not publishing any sponsored content or any premium themes or anything of that nature. So we try and – he has a very strict policy of keeping everything that we publish on weblawtoolscollection.com to be clean and free of any kind of junk or any kind of what would you say – I wouldn't want to say shady material, but I mean anything that would question the integrity of the authors and the things that we're writing. So that's a lot of times,
yeah,
that's why you see all the free themes on there. But, I mean, I see themes week after week after week, and it's like, man, isn't anybody going to try and think outside the box for once?
It definitely seems like the only ones who actually are thinking outside the box are the premium theme developers or their derivatives, the people who have come along behind them. I say them, that includes me, because I do work for iThemes, but they come along behind the premium theme developers and sort of copy them and then release it. And those are the only ones who seem to be doing any innovation, which is sad, but at the same time it can be understood, because it's the only avenue in a theme market that actually has monetary benefit. The best thing you can do if you're releasing free themes, and unless you're just a killer theme designer, I mean, if you're a killer theme designer, then you can build a reputation. But for the most part, average themes can get you a spike in traffic for maybe a week, and that's about it.
So that's I like when people are on the show and they give me good segues, because that was a good segue into my next question. What do you think of the premium themes marketplace right now?
Right now, I think it's great. I think that, I mean, despite the controversy around it, which there is some, which I'm not sure if I want to address or not, but there's some great stuff going on in the premium themes market. Not everybody is great, and I'll be upfront with that. I won't mention any names, but not everybody's great. Not everybody's bad either. I mean, there's some really good, very high quality theme designers out there who are selling them, but who are doing right by their customers, who are providing great timely support for their themes, and at the same time they're continuing to release free themes to make sure that not only are the people with cash, you know, benefiting from their work, but also people who may not have the cash to pay $100 or $150 or $79 for a premium theme. So there are some good designers out there who I'm really proud to call my friends, but there are some less than good ones out there too. So I think the outlook is good. I think that currently it could be a whole lot better. I think we're stuck a little bit in sort of populism, where we're giving people what they want now instead of innovating and defining what is popular tomorrow. But I think that'll change. So just keep an eye. I think the premium themes market's on the way up. I don't think it's on the way out at all.
So stepping back a moment, when we talk about the quality of the themes that are being released, as far as the ones that we feature usually on a weekly basis on WebLawToolsCollection.com, when we look at the, let's say, how should I put this, like tiered structure, you've got your premium theme authors such as Brian Gardner, Nathan Rice, although I don't think you release premium themes by yourself. I think you develop premium themes through iThemes. Is that right?
That's right. I do. I'm the lead developer at iThemes right now. So.
Right. And then you've got your other premium theme authors. So, and these guys are sometimes charging anywhere between $30 for a license up to $100 per license. And then the price goes even more up if you want to do like a multi-site license. But usually with your Brian Gardners, you're getting top-notch quality themes as far as designs, and you know, they're kind of raising the bar. And then you've got the people behind them who are kind of copying what it is they're doing and kind of releasing their version of that. And then you've got the people way down at the bottom of the totem pole who are just starting to learn how to make WordPress themes and kind of sending that out to the public. And that seems to be the majority of themes that we're getting now in the circulation, are the ones that have your column for content and maybe one or two sidebars on the left or right-hand side, and then there's not much else to differentiate between the two. So, but I think a shining example of what free theme authors could do right now is, are you familiar with Justin Tadlock?
Yes.
In his work?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, Brian Gardner has a revolution theme that's become very popular throughout the WordPress community. But, I mean, here Justin Tadlock comes along and he releases a theme called Structure, which looked pretty darn good, and it was free and people were blown away by it. But then he comes and releases something called Options, and that kind of blew me away. I mean, I think what Justin Tadlock has done with his Options theme, I think, should be the inspiration for the rest of the theme authors out there who like releasing free themes. I think that should be their inspiration and try and achieve that type of functionality, or just kind of raising the bar. And I don't know if you'd agree with that, but I think Justin Tadlock is one of those exceptions of free theme authors who are raising the bar and kind of doing things on their own.
Justin, when he released Options, and you're aware of this too because you were involved when it happened, he went about it in the worst of ways. He couldn't have done himself a bigger favor and also a bigger disservice, because I mean he all but, and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth or anything like that, but I saw the original Options theme, which has changed significantly since it was originally released, but it was a blatant ripoff of Revolution Pro. I think Brian and yourself and myself and others sort of called him on it, and it was sort of taken down from weblogs initially, and then reposted after he sort of removed the icons that looked dangerously close to the ones that Brian used and that kind of thing. But as far as the theme itself goes, I actually haven't. I'm familiar with it, obviously, and I've browsed around on his demo site. But I actually haven't downloaded it and used it yet. I'm partial to my own code, and so for the most part, having to learn the way somebody else did theirs is a little bit tedious to me. But from what I can tell, Options is, I mean, the name actually fits because it really does have. You can sort of fill in the blanks here because I don't know exactly, but from what I can tell, it has multiple layout options, multiple homepage layout options, things like that, that he built right into the theme, which is, like you said, it's a really good way to go about, number one, getting tons of buzz and traffic out of it because it was, you know, this premium quality theme that was released for free. And remind me to go back to a point about how about his model. But it was also completely free, which was a shock to most of us. I think that was really shocking to most of us that there's a guy out there who has released such a, you know, a complicated theme without any strings attached to it. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm impressed by it. I think it's a good standard for the rest of us to sort of follow. But getting back to what I was saying a second ago, the way he is going about the entire theming business, I think he's doing himself, and by setting an example, he's doing the rest of the community sort of a disservice as well, because he's setting this up as a purely, one of my favorite words to use is altruistic, sort of a selfless endeavor, something that he's doing just for the love of the trade. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he's making any money from Options whatsoever. Is that true?
As far as I know, Options is completely free. It's under GPL, and
he's not even monetizing it indirectly, is he?
As far as I know, no.
Okay, that's what my problem is for the most part, because that's not a sustainable model. He has to work. He's got to eat. And if he wants to do this as a hobby in his spare time, that's fine. But eventually, he's going to stop wanting to do this for completely. In my opinion, he's got to stop wanting. He can't keep wanting to do this for nothing. So there has to be a model. And you and I talked about this a little bit at WordCamp. And I said keep this conversation confidential. And I said, so don't talk to anybody about this. And you were like. Talk about what? And I was like, oh, that was awesome. That was really
good.
Yeah, but
that's my standard response. What? Unless it's supposed to talk about what? Okay, we're on the same page.
Yeah, exactly. So you and I talked a little bit about that, but there is a business model that exists where a person can do good things, very altruistic things, very good things for the community, and at the same time benefit monetarily without – compromising the sort of the standard, which is themes. There should be a free alternative to the paid premium themes vendors, and I think that as time goes by, you'll see more and more of that happening.
So I've sent you a link in an email, and some of the people here in the chat room might not know about this, but I sent you a link to an article that was written by Patrick of HellYeahDude.com, which highlighted various things he had found within freely available WordPress themes. And I've been checking the article on a regular basis here during the week to see what would happen. I see ADII has responded to the post. I mean, there's no allegations. Patrick is not singling anybody out. He's just bringing up the fact that some of these things are actually in freely available themes, most of the time probably without the knowledge to the end user using them. And I noticed you chimed in on there, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on it and see what became of it.
Well, evidently what happened, just to explain to the people who don't know, there was a theme, and I'm just gonna call names because there's no use in dancing around it. ADII from ADII.co.za, who is responsible for things like originally he was sort of trying to I think just build up the blog, and he interviewed me and he interviewed a few other well-known bloggers in the community and WordPress users and WordPress designers and themers and people like that. But eventually he got into the market of I think trying to really push his blog, and so he was advertising with Small Potato and things like that. But anyway, he's famous in a very a stretched sense of the word. He's famous for his premium news theme, which is a premium WordPress theme that is available, I think, at his site. Anyway, he released a couple of free themes as well, and one of them he released was based on the design of his blog at the time. And so what he did was, and I've done this before myself, so I know what he was going through. He forgot to take out a couple of things that were unique to his site, things like Google Analytics code, his FeedBurner RSS address, which that's the big one in my opinion, but the Google Analytics is a big one too, and then released it. And I actually went back to that original release post. If you're wondering which theme it was the WP Polaroid theme, and I went back to his and people left comments quite regularly saying, hey, I'm, when I've installed the theme and when I click on the RSS button, it's going to your site. What's the deal? And he never answered. And which is, to me, I'm not saying he did it on purpose, not at all. In fact, I can see something like this happening inadvertently, so I'm not blaming him at all. But when people tell you that there's code embedded in your theme that that is purposely sending traffic to your site your RSS feed and is tracking through Google Analytics, my site is giving you traffic essentially in Google Analytics. That's a big deal, and you need to respond to those kinds of things. And he evidently didn't, and this guy found it and discovered it. And while he didn't name names, he did put the code, like a screenshot of the code for the FeedBurner address that was being used, and
I thought it was funny. I think the way Patrick wrote the article, I think he did it the right way without starting up too much trouble. I think he wrote the article in such a way that it kind of brought up the ethics that of leaving stuff in there and kind of telling people, hey, sometimes there's things like this in freely available themes, make sure to check. And I just thought it was kind of interesting how, yes, you could see ADII in one of those screenshots. Yeah. I thought, whoa, okay, that was subtle.
Yeah, it looks like Patrick just logged in the chat room, by the way. Hell yeah, dude, is in the chat. I just saw that pop up. Pata, yes, it is still available for download. However, if you look in the article, I actually went through. AD said he didn't have time to go through and take out the code, so I did it for him, just to sort of remove the excuse. So if the download on his site is still running, still has that code in it, then I think that he has a problem. But I understand people are busy. I get that, but to me, it seemed like an honest mistake. That's what it seemed like to me, that it could have happened to any of us trying to convert a theme that's being used for a blog live that has lots of hard-coded stuff into a dynamic WordPress theme. It's hard to catch everything, so I can buy that, and that's fine. But it seems like it's just been way too long, and it should have been taken out. And what, like I said to AD in the comments thread there, he tried to I don't know if he was doing it on purpose, but he was trying. To me, it seemed like he was downplaying the effects of this. But if you go back through his site and check out his feed analysis on Blog Perfume, you'll notice that he gets steadily more and more RSS subscribers, and you can attribute that to some of his fallout with Small Potato or the rise in popularity of the premium news theme, whatever. But there's going to be some sort of as a result of putting your RSS feed into hundreds, if not thousands, of people's blogs by virtue of them downloading and using your theme, you can't downplay the impact that's going to have, because it's going to have an impact. And especially if you're putting your Google Analytics code in, your traffic is going to seem like it's a heck of a lot bigger than it actually is. The actual unique visitors per day, at least as far as I'm concerned, I've never tried putting analytics code for one site into another and seeing if it tracks the unique visitors. But my suspicion would be it would, and it has. So to me, it seems like it was a big deal, and 80 didn't think it was. So it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't really, like I said in the article, I think we all need to take a lesson. Don't rush when you're releasing a theme. You've got to make sure that thing is scrubbed clean before you release it, because you're talking about users here. And the fallout, as AD saw, can be pretty significant. People don't like it when they have code in a theme that you released for free that ends up sending traffic somewhere they didn't approve of. That's just not cool. So
right.
I think it was a big deal.
You get a free theme and you think, okay, this is what I'm getting. And then later you find out, oh, there are some surprises in there I didn't know about.
Exactly.
Now, I think the bottom line is, for anybody out there, when you download a theme, I wish it wasn't like this, but apparently this issue has been brought up by Patrick, and I think now, because my big deal was I wrote an article about it that ever since the theme repository has gone down or gone offline or hasn't been updated for so long now, we've been preaching to people that the safest thing to do is to download themes from the author's website. And if this kind of stuff is getting into the themes, especially if it's on purpose, in this case it didn't look like it was on purpose, but I mean, if it's being done on purpose, then it almost seems like, boy, we have to come up with some sort of crew or standards. Everybody has to go through their themes when they download them now through all the template files and make sure there's any kind of hanky-panky code in there. And I don't understand why it has to be like that.
Well, it does, because because people are, I mean, there are certain people out there who are bad. Not that I'm not saying AD's bad. I'm not trying to cause a fight or anything like that. But I'm saying that certain people out there who might actually put something in a theme that shouldn't be there—a link to, a hidden link to something, or a JavaScript insert of a link that you can't seem to get rid of. Trying to circumvent the user's input. It's just there are bad people out there, and so my advice and I'm sorry if I interrupted you there, but my advice would be to get to know the author, go through, see what kind of themes that he's released in the past. Does he respond to support? If someone brings up an issue, like, are there any issues? Has he ever released a theme before that has this kind of thing? Things like this can ruin your reputation. So AD, when he saw that there was stuff in his theme that could have been viewed as a little bit shady, he should have immediately fixed it, and it would have solved the whole problem. But the problem was he ignored it for a really long time, and at least that's the way it seems. And he really should have fixed that a lot sooner. So if I were a user and didn't know anything about WordPress, and I'm searching for a theme to use, and I go to 80 site, and I'm doing what I said to do, and that's go through all the themes you've released, see if there's any problems, see if the author responds to support questions or questions about bugs or rogue code that shouldn't be in there. Does he remove it? Does he fix the problem, or does he ignore it? And and that's what I would base my my decision on who I use as far as a theme goes on.
Well, the bottom line is, this is why I was such a big fan of the theme repository, why I'm such a big fan of the plugin repository that's hosted and maintained by Automattic, because they go through the files in question, they screen them, make sure there's no any kind of out of the ordinary type of code or things of that nature, any kind of sponsor links in there before it actually gets hosted on their servers. Because once they start
hosting
it,
they never did that. Actually, they never actually went through and they never scanned themes before they, at least on a theme repository. They did eventually. They just went through and removed every theme that had a sponsor link in it. But as far as screening them before they posted them, I mean, as soon as I uploaded a theme, it would get posted. So.
Well, that I did not know. I thought the themes went through a screening process, such as the plugins. But I hope sometime in the future they put a screening process up for themes, because this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a big fan of widgets, and I believe they make editing and maintaining a theme much easier because, well, back in the day, I used to be able to drag widgets around and I could change my theme just by dragging stuff around, but I'm not that big of a fan with widgets anymore because I'm not really too hardy on the new widget administration interface, but... What are your thoughts on the use of widgets and widget placement within WordPress themes?
Well, the thing that I love about the new widgets interface in 2.5 is that they stopped using the word sidebar. If you look in the widgets panel now, you go to, I think, design and then widgets. It's just called widgets now, which is awesome. They should have done this from the very beginning. Widgets don't have to go in the sidebars. The widgets can go in the footer, they can go in the header, they can go in the content section, and there's absolutely no reason why you should have to have the word sidebar attached to the widgets at all. So now what they've done is they've done good things and they've done bad things. I'll give you that. You're right. The loss of the ability to drag and drop was a huge, huge deal. They should have figured out a way to streamline the process and allow for multiple widgets to be shown, I mean, tons of widgets, 10, 15, 20, 30 widgets, if you want, or widgetized sections, I should say, to be navigated easily from the back panel, but at the same time maintaining the ability to drag and drop widgets into the corresponding widget panel. I actually really like, personally, the widgets panel. The thing they could have done is a little bit more – I know that one thing that really, really annoys me about the widgets panel is the fact that you have to click – you click the drop-down to choose the widget, and then you click the word show. That's completely unnecessary as far as I'm concerned. You should be able to click the drop-down menu and click the widget you want to show, and it automatically show that widget. Also, if you click a widget, you know, you choose a widget to edit, you click show – it brings up the thing, so you add the widgets you want to add to that particular widgetized section, and then if you have to hit save. You have to save it right then, or else you lose that change. So in other words, if you go to a widget section, you put a widget in it, and then you navigate to another widget section and you put a widget there, and then you navigate, you know, so on and so forth, and then you click save, the only one that actually gets saved is the last one you did, which is really
That sounds stupid. Like a major pain. Yeah, that sounds stupid. You know, it's as stupid as me wanting to move a text widget from a sidebar, and I end up losing the data that's in the text widget in the process.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And that's terrible. You should be able to do multiple changes across multiple widgetized sections, and then in one click save them all. There's no and then at the same time, like I said before, you should be able to navigate between widgetized sections without having to click and then click show. Those are my two biggest pet peeves with the new widget system. But as far as them being able to handle lots more widgetized sections without there being issues of, you know, screen real estate, was a big deal. It was a good step in the right direction. I have a feeling that when they release the next point release, like a major feature release, I think that's something that they're going to at least begin to address. I hope they do at least.
Well, I know one of the things I liked about the new widget panel compared with the other old way, the old interface of doing things, I use something called the shifter theme. And it has, when it was released, it has about maybe 9 or so different sidebars. And they were all stacked on this one page. And in order for me to drag a widget from the bottom area of the interface, because that's where all your widgets are stored, up to a sidebar that I wanted, but the sidebar was at the top, I'd have to drag the widget from one sidebar, put it in the sidebar, scroll up a little bit, put it in the next sidebar, because I didn't have a big enough monitor for that big screen for all those 9 sidebars. So I liked how they condensed the sidebar browser into like a drop-down list where you can select which one you wanted. But I don't know. I just there were some simplicities involved with the visual representation of the old sidebar interface that I just don't like using the new one for whatever reason.
No, I totally agree with you. I think that the fact that they did remove the ability to drag a widget from the widget pool, I guess you could call it, into a sidebar, which were at the time called sidebars. Now it's, I just call them widgetized sections. I think that was a big deal. That's why widgets were so popular. It's because they were so freaking easy to use. And now they're not as easy to use. And I think that was a big mistake for them to completely abandon the idea of drag and drop. If you grew up on Windows, that's what you are used to. You want to drag and drop stuff. That's just what you want to do. So for them to abandon that was really questionable.
Yeah, to be elite for a moment, I heart drag and drop. For all those people who understand, for all those people who understand what that means. But I realize you wrote an article not too long ago that went into detail as to why too many theme options is a bad idea. And I think I can give you a little bit of headway into this, but I'm actually trying to use the options theme by Justin Talak on my WP Weekly domain. And one thing I noticed is that themes that have a number of theme options sure do have a large intimidation factor. And I enjoy the fact that it has all these options. I mean, that's what I want. I want the ability to change a lot of aspects in my theme from the back end from a selection or two. But, I mean, when I'm just starting out and I don't know what I'm doing, and I have to be honest, I haven't dove into the documentation yet, but I know that exists. But there's this large intimidation factor. So I just would like you to go into detail as to why you think maybe too many options is a bad idea.
Well, the premise of the post, which if you haven't read the post, just go to NathanRice.net, and it's like the third or fourth story down. And the title of the story is The Problem with Theme Options. And the premise of the story was I was browsing around, and a couple of theme authors that I won't name out loud, but they used tons and tons. I mean, literally the theme options screen was probably 3 or 4 folds long, and it was, to me, it seemed tedious. Like, you have an option for everything. I can't believe that you need an option for that many things. And I understand the mentality behind that, because you want to make things as easy as possible. And I guess it sort of does depend on your target audience as well. But if you or I, or any of us pretty much in the chat room, anybody here who has moderate experience with WordPress, chances are we know what, markup is, and we know what style is, and we know what PHP is, and we can tell the difference between the three. And the problem with theme options is, in my opinion, is when a person downloads a theme, and say they know nothing about PHP whatsoever, but they're a great web designer, and they can work around with HTML and CSS, and they open up, the template files, header.php, style.css, and instead of seeing what they're used to, which is HTML and CSS, they see these options, like these function checks and variables and things like that. And for the most part, functions, the WordPress functions are actually easy to sort of, discern what's a WordPress function and what is raw PHP. So when they start going through these themes and they're trying to change things, and you've probably run into this when you're messing around with the options theme, although I don't know if the option theme includes an options panel, does it, Jeff?
Yeah, there is a sub-menu link in there that says options theme options or options or theme options.
Right.
I can't remember. It's one of those, but it's one page, and it has everything that I could configure there for the theme.
And like I said, those are really great. In fact, I've released ever since I released Elegant Blue back in, I think, like August or September of last year, I've included theme options with every single one of the themes I've released, including the ones that I themes. And they're great for what they're meant to be for, but the problem is that we're starting to get theme options crazy, and we're giving everything an option. You know, what color do you want your links to be? What color do you want your headers to be? What color do you want the background to be? You know, instead of putting in your Google AdSense code by yourself, you here, put it in the options here. It's getting to be a little tedious, especially when people want to start changing things on their own. Because then they have to start digging through what is CSS and what is PHP, what is HTML and what is PHP. I think we're just getting a little bit too crazy. And what we end up with is header.php files that are so riddled with theme options code that it barely resembles a WordPress template file anymore. It resembles more of a PHP application if you want to go that far. And I just thought it was a little bit, I don't know, it's just a little people going a little bit overboard. So I wrote the article with that premise in mind. And the suggestion that I gave at the end of the article was, if you're going to release a theme with theme options, which is great because there's a certain market for people who don't want to do anything, but they don't want to change anything but what can be changed through the theme options. But there's also people who want to change everything. They want to go through your code and change everything. And for them, just strip all the theme options out. They know how to input their own FeedBurner address into the theme themselves. They know how to change the color of their links themselves. They can do that. And so release two versions. It solves everybody's problems.
It's an interesting solution there that would probably kill two birds with one stone. You'd have your, pardon the pun here, but newbie-friendly version, which would have all your options, and then you'd have the advanced option that has no options.
Exactly.
So, at WordCamp Dallas, I discussed with you why I thought Small Potatoes Theme Club business model was such a good idea. Mm-hmm. But when I was talking to you, you kind of gave me some reasons as to why it wasn't as perfect as I was making it out to be. And to tell you the truth, your reasoning behind why some of the aspects of the theme club that you didn't really agree with, that was some of those things I ended up pulling into my post, my guest post for WP Candy. So discussing Small Potatoes Theme Club, what were some of the things that you didn't like about it or didn't make it the perfect business model for future people to use when they start their own theme club?
Well, first of all, I want to say that Small Potato is a friend of mine, so I don't want to be too hard on him. But at the same time, I think he's very smart, and I think that he was going in the right direction. Because I think that he said this on the interview that he had with you, which despite its uncomfortableness, I thoroughly enjoyed. So
don't bring that up, please. I'm just now getting over that.
I know. But anyway, so I listened to the interview and I thought it was very interesting. He was focusing more, and this is key, he was focusing more on volume rather than profit per unit. And that little sentence really stuck in my head, volume over profit per unit. That's a really good idea. But the problem with it was it was $5. And so even despite his massive popularity in the WordPress community, and he was massively popular, despite the fact that he had probably bigger traffic numbers than any WordPress themer in the entire community, which he probably did. In fact, I think I've seen his traffic numbers, and they are quite amazing. And despite the fact that he probably had more subscribers than anybody, save for maybe Chris Pearson, even with all that, he still only managed to get about 400 or so paying subscribers to the Themes Club in about 3 months, 2 or 3 months, something like that. Which, if you add it up, that's about $2,000. Now, when I released, Corey and I actually released NewsPixel, which was just a simple sort of news premium theme that we were selling for, I think, maybe $99 or something like that. We probably did that amount of money, $2,000, in the first month. And it's continued to sell despite the fact that we've stopped marketing it. The business model was very smart, but the price tag was really not smart. And on top of that, and I don't know if I mentioned this to you in Dallas, the themes themselves were very artistic and they were very good-looking, aesthetically pleasing themes. But they didn't really add any functionality. They didn't push the limits of what WordPress could do, which is what we see a lot of the premium theme developers doing nowadays, is pushing the limits of WordPress. And so by doing themes essentially the way they've always been done, which is, like you were saying before, you know, content column and then one or two sidebars, either on the left, right, or, you know, on both sides. That's all he did. And which, if you look back through his archives and his free things that he's released, you can get that there for free. You don't have to pay the $5. I paid the $5 just to sort of, you know, support his ideal. I never used any of his themes, but I wanted to give him the money to sort of, you know, see to help him along. But $5 for a year's worth of membership seemed really – it was almost like he was cheating himself. He could have done a whole lot better.
I thought you know, with $5, I figure, hey, people are realizing, I've got $5. That's I can skimp on this trip to Burger King and get that extra value meal and just throw it towards the themes. And I think $5, I thought that was cheap enough for people to just – no, throw away money. They'll give them $5 just to see what they get. But apparently, some of that didn't happen.
It didn't happen, and here's why. I mean, the traffic is limited. I mean, you can't when you're doing $5 for a year's worth of membership to the Themes Club, you end up shortchanging yourself, because even with massive amounts of traffic, the conversion rate for people who get to your site and actually will pay you the money is actually kind of low. And so even if you ended up with, say, in a full year, 12 months time, even if you ended up with, say, 2,000 members, 2,000 is a lot of people who are willing to put up money for you. A lot of us would be happy to have 2,000 people who, you know, would be willing to give us 25 cents. But, you know, that seems like a lot, but even 2,000 at $5, he's making himself, what is that, $10,000 in a year? That's not a lot of money. I mean, you can do better than that selling a premium theme, especially with his reputation in the community. I bet he probably got more money from his showcase theme than he did from his Themes Club. I would be willing to bet that's true.
That's an interesting take on his theme model, because that's something that struck out to me in that interview. I mean, a few light bulbs went off when you started talking about volume. And I just looked at it from a top-down perspective, where he had the Theme Club. It was $5. I thought it was cheap enough where people, even if they weren't interested in joining the theme, they would throw their money their way just to see what they would get, knowing that they'd be guaranteed 12 themes for only $5. I mean, that's a hell of a return on investment if the 12 themes would have actually come to pass. But and also how he was giving out free memberships to the Theme Club, because what he was doing is actually building up his support base for the themes. Because granted, if you get many people using the same theme, that'll take a lot of the support off your back, which I think is the biggest problem for a premium theme author working by themselves, is a support factor.
Oh, yeah, and doing that, giving away those free themes, I mean, excuse me, free memberships, was genius. I mean, it was a stroke of sheer genius. But going back to a second ago, I want to make this point real quick. I think that if he had charged $100 per year for the Themes Club, half of the people, I imagine he would have gotten at least 200 people to do that, to sign up. I mean, with his – so in other words, what I'm saying is if he had charged – you know, $100 is 20 times, so 20 times more than he charged, he probably still would have retained about half of his customers. And that's what was so frustrating to me, is that he lost an opportunity to really capitalize on the Themes Club by not realizing that people, yes, you'll get more people at $5, but not so much more to make up for the loss of profit per unit. So he ended up really shooting himself in the foot with that one, in my opinion. But then again, you know, he's gone now, so I guess he didn't shoot himself that much.
Yeah, if anybody goes over to WPDesigner.com, don't be surprised if you see a couple tumbleweeds going by, because there's quite the situation over there. I mean, I wrote a guest post about it on WP Candy. It was my last guest post there, and it kind of went over what's going on over there. But, I mean, it's pretty much become a $65,000 ghost town. So, but sure, as far as theme clubs are concerned, do you think that at some point we will be seeing themes released by a few large theme clubs versus the single theme author? I mean, meaning that do you kind of see these more – how can I say this? From the top-down perspective, you have your big theme clubs and members, theme authors are joining these theme clubs because they can get more out of it versus being by themselves, and maybe we'll start seeing more and more theme clubs versus individuals kind of doing things on their own.
So you're asking, do you think authors are going to start collaborating rather than working on their own?
Yeah, because they'll get more out of it. So networking theme clubs, pretty much. I mean, do you think there'll be more models out there, such as the Small Potato Theme Club, to come out in the future, or do you think that what he's done has kind of proved that it's not worth it, or do you think it is worth it?
I think it is worth it if you do it right. If you can do a themes club correctly, then I think you can make a living off of it. I think that any of the theme designers, at least not the ones I know, myself included, present company, of course, in the chat room excluded. I don't know about them. But I don't think they're going to start collaborating mainly because of ego. And I say that, again, including myself in that. I don't know about too many people wanting to just, you know, collaborate sort of unfettered. There are certain people in the community that I trust and that I would collaborate with, but there are other people that I would not, not ever, period. I mean, it would be a cold day in hell before I collaborated with them. And so I think that it has a lot to do with ego. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that you'd have to do profit sharing too, and I don't think they want to do that. I don't think that the benefits for collaboration would be would override the loss of, you know, revenue from having to do profit sharing. So if you're asking essentially, though, I mean, fundamentally, does the theme club model work? I think yes. It has to be done correctly, though. It has to be a one-man job, I think, at least a one-man running the show, where his, you know, he is the forefront guy. He may have help doing the designs or the code or whatever, but he's running it, and he can put his full, you know, attention into it. I think the model can work. I think that charging for memberships, but you have to charge more than freaking $5. And if you're going to do the $5 theme club, in order to make that work, your volume has to be overwhelming. I mean, it has to be so huge that even at a 5%, you know, visitor to member conversion rate, still nets you hundreds of new subscribers per month. Excuse me, not hundreds. You'd have to have thousands at $5. I mean, you'd have to have thousands to make a living off of it. So you would really have – I mean, it would be hard to do it at $5, but I think if you start raising the price of a themes club or start charging monthly or charging for other things, upsells and things like that, I think that you could make it work. But his model, I don't think could – I think he was still working out the kinks, though, which was the disappointing, you know, part about seeing him leave. Which I think that he was really starting to maybe work out the kinks in it, but I guess that's, you know.
Well, one thing's for sure, he sure did have one hell of a passionate community who was behind him 100% in whatever it is he was doing. I mean, I don't think he could have went wrong based on the people that were following him. But Andrew Rickman here in the chat room, he asked a question a while ago. I told him I'd get around to asking it, but he was wanting to know, what is the killer admin function for a premium theme?
I don't know if I want to say. The killer admin function for a theme is And I don't know how much I'm going to elaborate on it, but mainly because I can't figure out how to do it, which is frustrating. But the killer admin function is a fully widgetized theme, and I literally mean that. Every single section, in fact, not even widgetized. I'm talking about a theme that you can build from the back end. So in other words, you log into to your WordPress, site. You activate the, build your own theme, and then you go into the options, and basically it's a blank canvas, and you drag and drop stuff where you want it to go.
Oh, hold on a minute. I got to take a breather because that's what I want.
Yeah. Would that not be sick? That would be an awesome, awesome theme. Now, it would be, in my opinion, the end of WordPress as we know it, because it would turn WordPress into Facebook and MySpace. But it would be whoever does that. And like I said, I can't figure it out. Maybe Jacob Santos and I can get together and we can figure out how to do it.
Well,
but
I know the Shifter theme that I'm using, it pretty much does that.
I thought it did, but it's drop down menus. You choose how many sidebars you want, and I'm not talking about it. That's great. That's a step in the right direction, but it's not what I'm talking. I'm talking about literally a blank canvas where you drag columns around, you drag footers, and you drag sidebar. Everything can be positioned in this sort of Ajax-y drag and drop way. And you have tons of functions. I mean, you can drag whatever you want to, wherever you want to. That's where it's going. I know Shifter does that to a certain extent, but not nearly what I'm sort of dreaming up here.
Man, that sounds cool. So let me see if I get your idea correctly. You'd have you go in here and you have this. Maybe it'd be Ajaxified, with the whole drag and drop. So you have your widgets on the left here. Says header, footer, sidebar, and you can drag them to, would it be predefined areas on a grid, on a blank grid? Is that what you're talking about?
It could be that. I mean, the thing about it is you could actually, I mean, there might be two sections, two pools, I guess you could say, that you drag from. You can, one pool is the grid pool. So you drag three different, or two different or five different grids grids, I don't know if that's the right word to use, but sections onto the canvas, and then you populate those different sections with your different, for lack of a better
functions.
Word, widgets. Yeah, exactly.
Man, let me tell you, I'm an end user, but I mean, from an end user perspective, I think that might be the holy grail.
It would
of,
be.
And WordPress
and I
themes.
I can't take credit for it. Laurel's actually was the one who suggested it to me. And I hate to break it for the community or anything, but I mean, if she didn't mean to, I'm sorry, Laurel, I didn't mean to do that. But I think that if someone could do that, and if somebody's interested in collaborating with me, please go to my website, NathanRice.net, contact me. I would love to talk to you. If you're a developer out there who knows how to do something like that, I would love to work with you on that. But I think that you're right. Exactly. It's exactly what there's no better word for it. The holy grail of WordPress themes is that. Complete 100%, there's nothing that is not customizable. Now, that goes back to sort of the previous conversation we were having about theme options. Yes, that would make the theme way too complicated, but at the same time, since everything is customizable from the back end, I don't think that would be too much of a problem.
Man, you start talking about things like that, and I just get all antsy pants.
Yeah.
So I got a couple of questions here. People, I think Patah Dunbar is one of the people who sent me in a couple of questions. But so I guess on your blog, you've put out an all-point bulletin looking for designers for an idea you've had, and I'm just wondering, could you share any maybe little tidbits of what it is you're planning or what do you have in the works?
I can't, unfortunately. The only thing – I know.
I'm not going to get on Dig now.
Well, you wouldn't get on Dig anyway. That's not.
That's true, and I don't want to be on Dig.
Yeah, that's true. You'll get a spike of traffic and nothing else. I can't share too much about that. It's it's going to be a way, we'll just say it like this. If you happen to be one of the people who enjoy browsing and looking at premium themes but never have the cash to actually buy one, you're going to enjoy what I've got up my sleeve.
Okay, let's leave it at that, because that is very, very I want more type of material. That sounds very interesting there.
Yeah.
So are there any WordPress theme developers out there that you would consider a form of inspiration for any of the work that you do, or is there anything you've kind of looked at that you've kind of gained ideas from?
Yes, absolutely. I built my first WordPress theme off of the first WordPress theme Corey Miller released. And eventually over time, I actually wrote my own code, and he actually uses my code now, but it's weird how those things kind of work. But he would be the person who sort of gave me that real swift kick in the butt to get into this market. And so I have to give him, first and foremost, the credit for that. And then, of course, through knowing Corey, I met Brian, Brian Gardner, who is a friend of mine. We chatted this morning. Brian's a great designer. His code is extremely well written, which is, of course, the only thing that really matters to me. Does anybody here, and you can say in the chat room, I don't know if Jeff, you know of him or not, but Sadish, S-A-D-I-S-H, ever heard of him?
Sadish?
Yes, S-A-D-I-S-H.
I don't, that name doesn't ring a bell off my head, but I got to say that carefully because it sounds like I could mispronounce that and people would be offended.
Yeah, well, I think he's an Indian developer who moved to the U.S., so he's actually living in the U.S. now. But he's one of the guys who's been around forever, and he's actually been doing theme options before most of us even knew what theme options were. He was a big inspiration to me. Chris Pearson, if you're in the WordPress community and you don't know who Chris Pearson is, then you're in the wrong business, because that guy knows how to build a WordPress theme. He's very, very popular. He's got a great blog. He doesn't blog that often, but he's got a great blog. Let's see, who else? Small Potato was huge for me. He was a I remember when he – does anybody remember his 31 themes in 31 days challenge?
I don't.
You don't?
Again, I might not have been around. When was that?
Yeah, that was actually probably over a year ago.
I've only been in the WordPress realm since May of last year, so I might not have – I wasn't solely involved with WordPress last year, but might have missed that.
Yeah, it's been at least a year. Actually, it's probably been more than a year. So, yeah, when he did that, it really – I remember thinking about – in fact, I wrote a blog post on the blog I was writing at the time. I said, this guy's releasing 31 free WordPress themes in 31 days. I said, I couldn't even write one WordPress theme in 31 days, much less 30 or 31. Little did I know that would change eventually, but he was instrumental in sort of not him personally, but just his example was instrumental in getting me into the community. Go ahead. I'm thinking of other people who didn't necessarily inspire me.
Is Patah Dunbar your inspiration? And the answer to that question, let me answer that for you. Who is Patah Dunbar?
I know who Patah Dunbar is.
Really?
But
you're the first one.
But Patah actually is. I don't know how long he's been involved in the community, but I think I've been around a little bit longer than he has. So I doubt that he inspired me.
So with that being said, I got two more questions for you, and then I'll let you get out of here. The first question is. It's been quite a while since we've heard anything about this topic, but Matt Mullenweg brought up something about how Automattic is looking at doing a WordPress.com theme marketplace, and I was wondering what your thoughts were on that idea, and if do you think something like that could have a chance at being successful, and maybe that would be a real benefit towards premium theme authors?
Yes to the first question, no to the second. It's going to help some premium theme authors for part two of your question, but not the ones who you would think it's not. For instance, I don't think it's going to benefit. It might benefit new guys, like people who are just getting into the game. But for the most part, there's lots of WordPress.com bloggers out there who are looking at the themes that they can't have. They're willing to pay the money for them, but they don't have them. So the popular theme authors are going to either boycott the theme marketplace or are going to be very successful on it. The people getting right into it, I don't know if they're – it depends on whether or not the big premium theme authors actually take advantage of the theme marketplace. If they don't, then there's a huge wide open market for new developers to actually get in there. But I'm not sure how motivated the guys at Automattic are to actually do the theme marketplace. I don't know if they see it as like there being huge income potential there. I know it would seem like there is because there's lots of WordPress.com bloggers, but only they know how many of those WordPress.com bloggers are actually paying for the upgrades, like custom CSS or the ability to use your own domain name and things like that. They know those numbers. And so if those numbers are low, from a percentage standpoint, then they're going to look at that and go, okay, most of our users are looking for just free. And so to offer them something like a paid upgrade is going to cost us X amount of dollars in order to implement it. But the return on that investment is not going to be enough to make up for the investment. So only they know how much that is. And I suspect that if it's below, you know, a certain number, they're just going to sort of let it die. But if it's above a certain number they look at it as a profitable, at least a potentially profitable project, then I think they will. They'll do it. And it'll be good for them, and it'll be good for certain theme designers. I don't think it's going to blow the lid off the market or anything like that. WordPress.com is for – their VIPs are cool because they get to do anything they want to, and they get unlimited traffic. But the regular just, you know, joeschmo.wordpress.com doesn't really – he can't make money from his blog. He's doing it basically as a hobby. So I don't know if I see too much in the way of people actually paying for upgrades at WordPress.com unless they're allowed to run ads on their site. I just don't see that happening.
Oh, running ads on their site, let me tell you, I don't think that's going to come to WordPress.com blogs anytime soon. So,
no, I agree.
So my last question – before I let you go, is you've been developing themes for a while, and you develop premium themes through your, employment, should I say, through iThemes and Corey
sure.
Miller. And I thought maybe you could share a couple of tips for the listeners or to us in the chat room here. Just give us a couple of tips as far as developing WordPress themes, maybe some guidelines or just some general practices that you've kind of developed on your own that kind of tell us a little bit about the workflow and whatnot.
That's a great question. First thing you got to do is you got to subscribe to NathanRice.net because you will get.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. I'm going to have to edit that out. I'm just kidding. This
I'm
is live,
kidding.
So it's staying.
Yeah. there's articles on there now, but in the future there's going to be a lot more. We're going to go through step by step on, you know, what certain template tags mean and that kind of thing, and how to SEO your WordPress theme completely where you don't need any plugins, that kind of thing. So number two, you've got to become intimately involved in the community. Subscribe to tons of blogs by people who write WordPress themes. You'll be able to see the themes they're releasing, the projects they're involved with. Download everything you can. Download every good theme out there that you can get your hands on. Any of the Chris Pearson themes are a great place to start. He keeps them up to date, so that's a great place to start. the codecs, you've got to know the codec. I mean, you have to know how to use the codecs because template tags, when you're building a WordPress theme or you're modifying a WordPress theme, you have to know what the template tags mean. And for those who don't know, the template tags are the ones that they're just little WordPress functions, and they're between PHP tags, and it's something like v_id and then opening and closing parentheses. Stuff like that, you have to get to know what those different functions do in order to edit your theme. So if you, I mean, you open up a theme template file and you see these different template tags and you don't know what they mean, you're going to be really confused really, really quick. So if you're building a WordPress theme, you have to know. I mean, this is basic stuff. More advanced stuff, oh, wow, you have to know the loop if you don't know what the loop is, type into Google WordPress loop and you'll find anything you want to know. Ronald wrote a great article on Weblog Tools Collection the other day. Have you read it, Jeff? I assume you have.
I've dove into it a little bit, but I have not put on my big glasses and kind of gone through the posts, but it's been getting a lot of traffic lately, I'll tell you that much.
It's a great article explaining what, you know, how to do multiple loops without using query posts. It's just some really like heavy duty WordPress stuff that if you don't understand, you're not going to be able to compete in the themes market if you're wanting to do it for money. If you're just releasing themes, you know, for out of the goodness of your heart, you'll get some downloads and it's great for the community to have extra themes, but you're not really going to be pushing forward the entire community to get better and better. So you have to get to know the loop, and you have to be able to hack that loop to do whatever you want to. You have to know how to do the loop, so that's an advanced thing. In my opinion, where WordPress is going is I think that a marriage between WordPress and jQuery is really where it's going, because jQuery is such an easy JavaScript library to use. It's way, way easier than MooTools or Scriptaculous, anything like that. It's just a great, great JavaScript library, and it fits. Some of the plugins for jQuery fit with WordPress so, so well. So if you're wanting to do stuff that's flashy and gets people's attention, which is, to me, kind of gaudy, but at the same time, I understand it's what people want. So if you want to make money, you want to compete, you got to learn jQuery. You got to learn how to use – well, you don't have to learn how to – there's nothing to learn in jQuery. You have to know JavaScript, but you have to be able to use jQuery in order to display content on the homepage in a very unique way. Let's see. The main thing is, I mean, if you want to know how to use WordPress, you want to add functionality to WordPress, study plugins, study the code in the plugins, get to know plugin authors because they're awesome. Plugin authors are just the best. And get to know PHP. Because PHP is what it's all driven on, and
or you could hire Jacob Santos.
You hire Jacob Santos because Jacob Santos knows PHP backwards and forward, right?
I think so. I think he lives for PHP.
Is he still in the? Yeah, there he is. Okay, I was just
yeah, he's on the line.
Okay, good. Are there any like audio questions anybody wants to ask?
I don't see anybody who is. Oh, wait a minute! Look at that. Just as you asked, Mr. Baton Dunbar, the guy nobody's ever heard of except you, Nathan, has called
That's
in.
Cool.
So, let me see here, Mr. Baton Dunbar. How are you doing this evening, young man?
Hey, how's it going?
What's
going
up?
Going fine. You're on the line here with Nathan Rice.
All right. Well, my question to Nathan Rice is, I heard about you doing a redesign for NathanRice.net. How's that going along?
Yeah, it's going terribly. I can't tell you how bad I am at graphic design. It's sad, really, how bad I am. And so, one design comes and goes, and you know it looks good sort of on paper, but then you write the code and you do everything for it and you just look at it and you're like, you know what, this actually really sucks. This is actually a terrible design. And so you start over, and then you get about halfway through another one, which is where I am right now, and you're disappointed with it as well. So I'm back at square one right now. At least that's what I think. Unless for some reason I get like a stroke of genius and can turn this design into something worth using, then I don't know. I'll probably be back at square one, which is why I'm well. It's not why, but I would love to be friends with a great designer who would love to do work for me for nothing, for free.
I can totally understand where you're coming from, because like developers have a great deal of problems like designing, you know, like. Mm-hmm. A good-looking, you know, a website in general.
Yeah.
And I have those problems, like, where you design something and it looks great in Photoshop and the text looks great, but when you turn it into, like, you know, HTML and CSS, it's just totally mind-blowing. And then you have the CSS, you know, IE errors and all that kind of stuff. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
I know where you're coming from.
For me, it wasn't so much the errors and stuff. It was just actually seeing it in use on a web page. It's just – I don't know. In my mind, it looked great, but that's one of the reasons why I can't draw, and one of the reasons why I can't design anything in Photoshop. My fiance is like a beautiful artist. She can draw anything, and it looks wonderful. So is my sister. But I did not get that gene, so.
Well, coder, meet designer.
Oh, is that right?
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
It's Patricia. The only
Patricia.
Non-sausage on the sausage fest.
Oh, God, here we go. Yeah, this is Patricia Mayo. She's stopped by, and she's part of the show. She does comhacker.org. And, Patricia, you're on the air here with Nathan Rice, so go ahead with your question.
Wait, before she starts, for sure. Okay. Your name is Patty Mayo.
Yes.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, because now I'm not – I didn't listen to any of the earlier – I started probably around episode 9 or so, and I was a huge fan of Doug as a child. So when I heard your name, I was like
– Oh, Patty – I remember her with the curly yellow hair.
Patty Mayonnaise, exactly.
Yes.
Go ahead,
I have
Patricia.
Curly black hair.
Go ahead, Patricia.
Okay. I didn't really have a question. Well, with the exception of, is there any chance you could port a design I made into WordPress? Because I'm tired of editing page after page.
I'm unfortunately for people like yourself, there's a shortage of available designers right now. For the most part, if I've had to Ben Bleekamp, who's a great. He did the pro blogger design. He's so overwhelmed with work. He's having to send his overflow to other people. And I was one of the people he asked if, you know, can I send people to you? And I said, actually, I'm booked up myself as well. I'm actually not taking on any custom stuff right now at this very very moment. So, but maybe we'll talk after the show and see what happens.
Okay. Because, you know, I could probably do designs for you, and you just make them into WordPress, and, you know, because you were looking for a designer, and...
Yes.
I don't mind designing.
Okay, we'll talk about that. That sounds great.
Well, probably just going to close out the show here, and Nathan, I want to thank you very much for stopping by and being part of the show.
Absolutely, it's my pleasure.
And would you be willing to come back on and maybe do this again sometime?
I'll do it next week. I'm just kidding. Whenever you want me to, Jeff, you just ask.
No, you can't do it next week because that's David's spot. I already got that lined up for him, and I don't want to mess that up. But I really enjoyed having you on the show, and hey, man, it was a great pleasure to actually get to meet you face to face. You and both you and Corey Miller down at WordCamp Dallas. And hey, before I let you go. I noticed that you live in the Southeast, and I wanted you to actually announce if you're going to be able to attend WordCamp Birmingham, which will be part of the South by Deep South Conference later this year.
Currently, the plan is to attend that conference. I can't say anything definitely, but as far as I know right now, I was looking at the site today. I was asking Corey if he wanted to go, and I don't think he'll be able to go, but if the schedule works out, then yes, I'll definitely make the short drive down that way.
Because it's right down the road from you.
It's not too far. It's probably about 3 or 4 hours, but yeah, not too far.
Okay, just wanted to throw that out there in case somebody wanted to meet you in person and lives somewhere down there in the southeast or is going to that WordCamp event, which looks like it's going to take place in Birmingham, Alabama. I don't have the date off the top of my head. Do you know the date?
I was looking for it today, and I couldn't find it on the site, so no, I don't.
Well, for those interested, just type into Google South by Deep South or go to southbydeepsouth.com, I think is the website, and you should be able to come across it. Well, with that being said, Nathan, thank you very much for coming on the show, and you have an open invitation to be on the show anytime you want. Just send me an email, and I'll make it happen because I'm in charge.
That's right. Okay, sounds good.
All right. And with that being said, this concludes this episode of WordPress Weekly. I'd appreciate any feedback you may have in regards to the show. You can send that feedback to feedback@jeffro2pt0.com, or you can leave a comment on the blog under the post dedicated to this episode. Before I let you go, I want to tell you that I have been working on wpweekly.com, and I'm pretty sure that all future posts that have to deal with this show will be made over there on that domain. That will be the new home for anything dealing with WordPress Weekly information. So guest appearances, scheduling news as to what's going on with the show, or you know what's going on, that'll all be posted at wpweekly.com. And with that, just want to wish everybody a good weekend, and I'll see you next week where David Peralti is scheduled to be on the show, so it should be a good one. Take care, everybody.